Welcome to the Math Ed Podcast. My name is Sam Otten from the University of Missouri, and my guest is Bhima Sapkota, who's a doctoral candidate in mathematics education at Purdue University. Bhima, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me and providing this opportunity to share my research work with you and others, like math educators.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you about it. And the research that Bhima is referring to is an article that's coming out very soon in the Mathematics Educator. And the article is entitled Pre-Service Teachers' Conceptualizations of Mathematical Tasks. So this deals with tasks, which is a very central idea. And I think about it a lot with my method students and just in a lot of ways. I was wondering what your personal history is in thinking about tasks. And this article deals with a variety of task frameworks. I wonder also like what your personal history is thinking about those task frameworks.
Yeah, so before I joined Purdue in 2017 for my PhD, I was a secondary mathematics teacher in Nepal. And as a novice teacher, I always had dilemmas about if the tasks that I had selected for my students were worthwhile or not. And even what is the criteria of, you know, deciding if a task is worthwhile or not. Just giving the context, in Nepal, we teachers mostly rely on textbooks to select tasks. And that's what I did. But sometimes I wanted to modify them. And sometimes I wanted to use other curricular resources to select tasks, but I was not sure, as I mentioned earlier, which is the better one, or which task is better one, or which resources are better. After joining Purdue in 2017, I started working as an instructor of a mathematics methods course for secondary pre-service teachers, and I found that even pre-service teachers had similar kind of dilemmas related to task selection and implementation. So I thought I would create a series of instructional activities incorporating different frameworks to kind of help pre-service teachers understand different characteristics of mathematical tasks and kind of prepare them for their actual teaching. When they go to actual teaching, maybe they will be better prepared to negotiate different task-related factors. That's how I started this study.
Yeah, and I wonder, as you did that work, you're thinking about tasks, but now you're doing it kind of in conversation with pre-service teachers who you're working with. I wonder what you saw as the main purpose that the study could fulfill. Like, what was the main thing you wanted to accomplish by doing the analysis and coming out the other side?
So when I started this study, as I mentioned, the main purpose that I aimed to investigate how a series of instructional activities that I developed by incorporating multiple task-related factors would enhance mathematics pre-service teachers' skills to negotiate different task-related factors. For example, if a task is accessible to students or not, and if teachers would be able to implement that task given different practical considerations. So investigating how pre-service teachers actually not only focusing on one specific characteristics, but having exposure to different frameworks and how which factors they would prioritize and which factors they would less prioritize while selecting tasks. So I wanted to investigate that and kind of have this kind of practical implication if this series of instructional activities really work well or not. If works well, then why not incorporating into our methods courses? So that's how I started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it can give some inspiration for methods instructors like myself to think about how to approach tasks. But then you're right, it also, your analysis sheds light on the pre-service teachers and what do they bring with them when they start thinking about tasks? Like what is highlighted for them? What's the thing that they focus on the most? And it's interesting to me too, the fact that you did bring in multiple frameworks and multiple sort of angles to look at tasks is interesting because sometimes I might just think about choosing one framework and then we're going to use that framework to talk about tasks. But bringing multiple frameworks can complexify this very important part of mathematics teaching.
Yeah, so that is kind of the way that I wanted to build on the existing literature, because when I read different papers, I found that like different scholars, they conducted studies focusing on some particular criteria, for example, focusing on the aesthetic values of tasks and even length of tasks and cognitive demand of tasks and how those specific characteristics would help pre-service teachers and even in-service teachers to think about different task characteristics. But in this study, I tried different frameworks and incorporating them and to see what pre-service teachers bring at the beginning and at the end of the activities and how that, their attention or their kind of attention to different task-related factors shifts throughout their engagement in different instructional, in this series of instructional activities.
Yeah, and you mentioned the kind of beginning and then the end. I wonder if you could just say a little bit about the data that you had and the way that you analyzed it. And again, the Mathematics Educator is an open access journal, so people will be able to read it in detail. But I wonder if you could just orient us a little bit to what data you had to work with.
Sure. So I conducted this study in a mathematics methods course for secondary pre-service teachers, where I was an instructor, one of the instructors. And I developed a series of instructional activities. On the first day of that, those activities, pre-service teachers solved two different tasks that I introduced to them. And engage in the description of those tasks. So they actually individually describe those tasks based on some prompts that I provided. And the next day, I introduced them to one framework, one mathematics task framework, again, describing and discussing that framework and how that framework could be used to while selecting different mathematics tasks. And the next day, again, I introduced another framework. And again, pre-service teachers were engaged in the similar activity. For example, talking about that framework and how that framework could be possibly used while selecting tasks. The last part of the activities was one assignment that pre-service teachers had to select one task and had to justify why that task was worthwhile for their students. So I encouraged them to use both the frameworks if possible. And I also told them that they could use any task characteristics that we discussed throughout the activities. So that assignment was basically pre-service teachers' individual descriptions on tasks, on a task that is selected. So the data is their pre-service teachers' individual reflections from the day one of the activities and the very last assignment that I mentioned earlier. To analyze the data, I actually used a top-down and bottom-up approach, the like interactive nature of the data analysis. So initially, I just started with reading pre-service teachers' task descriptions and looking at or different characteristics that they mentioned. And then I started working on developing an emergent task framework by combining two frameworks that I had introduced to pre-service teachers as well as other two related book chapters related to the mathematics tasks, or characteristics of mathematical tasks. Initially, in that framework, I had four categories of tasks, and I started using that framework to identify different task characteristics that mathematics pre-service teachers mentioned in their descriptions. And I found that there was one more category that could be added to that framework from the data. That's what I identified. That is feasibility of tasks. Then I modified that emergent framework and that the process. And again, I started the analysis process using the new modified framework. So this is so going back and forth between data and my emergent framework. This is the process of analysis. So after doing that, kind of identifying different task characteristics that pre-service teachers mentioned, I started working on identifying themes in terms of what is the shift that I could see in mathematics pre-service teachers' task descriptions from their initial task description to the final activity. So initial activity to the final activity. And that's what I reported in the findings section.
So while you were doing the analysis, was there anything surprising or like a sticky kind of analytic challenge that you had to work through?
Yes. So this was the first qualitative study that I conducted because in my master's, I used mostly quantitative statistical methods to analyze the data. So my kind of preconception before I started this analysis was this will be like a pretty straightforward, like the quantitative methods. So I had frameworks that, emergent conceptual framework, and I thought I will use those descriptors and I will identify different characteristics and I will be done. But I realized that looking at the data, I found different new characteristics that they were not in the framework. As I mentioned earlier, feasibility of tasks or feasible tasks. So that was not in the emergent framework initially. You know, I kind of debated, okay, whether I want to include this in my finding or not, because this is not in the emergent conceptual framework. And after having discussion with my colleagues and my professors, I kind of, you know, understood this is just the process in qualitative analysis that you just go back and forth and modify even your original framework. So I added that feasible task to the emergent framework as well. And that is one of the categories that I have reported in the findings section as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to go into that findings section a little bit more. So you have these descriptions of the mathematics pre-service teachers talking about tasks and bringing different lenses and different frameworks to talk about them. I wonder if you could just share a sample or a few of the examples of how the pre-service teachers were talking about and describing the tasks.
Sure. So initially, in the initial descriptions, mathematics pre-service teachers, they mostly focused on describing challenging tasks. For example, one mathematics pre-service teacher mentioned, in Martha's carpeting task, I did not really make any judgment. I just did it. It was mental math. So in this course, they were kind of talking about challenging tasks in terms of how long that task was, because they were talking about just mental math. But when we talk about the mathematics pre-service teacher's final task descriptions, they started considering multiple task-related factors besides just challenging tasks. Even when they describe challenging tasks, they consider this task could be challenging for some students and that task might not be challenging for other students. So based on the student's prior knowledge or given some contextual factors. For example, one mathematics pre-service teacher, and they mentioned, there will always be students in my classroom that struggle with the material. While doing mathematics task is the ideal for most students, the students who struggle may require a less open-ended. So here they are talking about open-ended task and how this could be challenging for some student and it might not be challenging for other students. Other important thing that I want to mention here is pre-service teachers' considerations of multiple practical aspects while describing tasks at the end of the activities. Even though the focus of my instructional activities was not talking about the implementation of tasks, but pre-service teachers start thinking about different practical aspects while implementing tasks. For example, they mentioned they would select a particular task because that was really easily accessible by all the students. And they could even implement that task within certain class period. So those are some examples that I can think of at this point.
Yeah, that's great. And again, more in the article, I encourage listeners to check out. It's just fun and thought-provoking to see people talking about tasks because they are so central to math teaching and learning. I wonder, having done this analysis and written about it and thought about it over a few years, what are some of the main takeaways that you have in your mind or that you have sort of for the field about pre-service teachers when they are describing and when they're talking about and thinking about tasks?
Yeah, the main takeaway, I think I touched on this one a little bit earlier as well, providing pre-service teachers opportunities to have exposure or to have discussion about multiple task-related frameworks or task frameworks. While reporting in the finding section, also I have there how those different frameworks actually help pre-service teachers to think about more nuanced and broader and even complex understanding of task-related factors. During task selection as well as during task implementation. Building on the prior literature about pre-service teachers' exposure to a single framework or focusing on a single task characteristics, exposure to multiple task frameworks is really beneficial to help them think about different contextual factors as well.
Yeah, that's great. And I mentioned before the article is going to be available open access in the Mathematics Educator. And I also want to make sure people know about the journal. The Mathematics Educator, you know, they paused operation for a little while during the pandemic, which is, I think, very understandable, but they're open for submissions again. They're publishing new issues. And it's a research-focused journal, the Mathematics Educator, but it accepts a variety of forms of research. So like you were talking about this qualitative study, but having done quantitative work, they're open to various kinds of analysis. They're also open to lit reviews, meta-analysis. They're open to book reviews of like academic or empirical sorts of books. And some of the unique characteristics of Mathematics Educator are not just that it's open access, which is very nice, and I value that more and more as the years go by, but the Mathematics Educator, they strive to have a very supportive review process, and they've committed to the anti-discrimination review process. There's several editors that sort of signed a statement, and they've committed to putting into place anti-discrimination and kind of inclusive processes for empirical review. The other thing that's unique about it is it's run by graduate students at the University of Georgia. So they're very sort of open to research by graduate students, by early career scholars, but it's also, I think, that process and that venue can be valuable to a lot of researchers. I imagine you've had a positive experience having this article published and coming out in the Mathematics Educator. Is that true?
Yeah, I really had a positive experience, specifically the feedback that I got in the first round. It was really incredible in terms of that I could make my argument more explicit and clear based on, you know, using their suggestions and feedback. And I was, I think, more intentional about, you know, including the implications of this study because prior to this last version, it was there, but it was not that clear, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And people can find the journal, The Mathematics Educator, at uga.edu. It's hosted through the University of Georgia, but the open access part is also nice. People can already grab some of the research that's been published there. And it is a cited journal in our field. So I think it's good to have it back in operation. Bhima, I had a couple more questions for you just to finish up. You mentioned you're in grad school and you're working on your dissertation. I wonder if you just want to say how you're enjoying grad school and your dissertation study might be slightly different than this analysis. I wonder if you just want to say a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So I want you to you know, take back to 2017 before I start talking about my graduate school experience. So in 2017, I had applied to Purdue and then I got the admission and I was so happy, but the faculty told me that I will have only one semester of guaranteed funding and they will help me to look for opportunities, but they are not sure if I will find or not. So that time I was working as a secondary mathematics teacher in Nepal and I had to decide if I wanted to, you know, just continue teaching or join Purdue. But I was very passionate about, you know, joining and starting my PhD that time. So I thought I would just come and explore different opportunities and, you know, look for funding opportunities. So that time it was really a challenge for me to look for funding opportunities. But looking back, I feel like that was really an opportunity for me to work with different professors for my funding. So I even had a chance to work with a science professor in a project and go to work with local school teachers, K-12 teachers, and understand the K-12 context in the US. and teach different courses, including online and face-to-face courses. So yeah, I really enjoyed being a graduate student and working with different professors, including my advisor, Dr. Jill Newton.
Oh, I love Jill. And just really quickly, I know we could do a whole nother podcast episode on this, but what is the focus of your dissertation?
So in my dissertation, I am working on characterizing how different content-specific practices look like when pre-service teachers engage in approximations of practice, including lesson planning, lesson implementation, and reflection on teaching, and also how pre-service teachers conceptualize discipline-specific knowledge and content-specific practices when they engage in a series of activities related to content-specific practices. I know there are many technical words maybe, but yeah.
No, that sounds very interesting. It's an important area, I think. Bhima Sepkota is from Purdue University, and we've been talking about her study in the mathematics educator. My final question, Bhima, if you have another minute, is just, I know you're about to set out into your faculty career, you know, after grad school, and you have all of this academic work laying in front of you. But what if you were not doing math education? And what if you were doing something completely different as a career? Can you imagine anything else as an alternative?
Yeah, so it's been a while that I actually haven't thought about other careers since I'm so engaged in this. But of course, yeah. So I think I would be a lawyer, because I took one course non-major course in my undergraduate that is called victimology. So it's kind of looking at from the perspective of victims of crime. And then I really enjoyed, kind of taking that course and thinking about the psychological effects on victim and different kind of supports that they need. And I feel like I could work with the victims and, so I thought, I would be a lawyer and work on that side.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very important work as well. Yeah. Well, Bhima, it was very good talking to you, getting to know you a little bit. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me and providing me this opportunity to share my research study and some of the participants' voices as well. I really value their voices and I really appreciate this opportunity.